Brother Frank, why don't you lead us in a word of prayer this morning, please, sir?
Father, thank you for a night of rest. Thank you for the rest that we have in Jesus. And Father, it's for that purpose we always gather to meditate, reflect on your word, to hear from you, Father, as we know that you have given us abundant eternal life in Jesus, and we give you praise for that. Father, for this group of men who joined and our two ladies with us, we're thankful that we can come and we're in a safe place, a warm place, and listen to Dr. Toby lead us in some thoughts that he has been pondering over. Father, you're a good God, and we love you, we adore you, we praise you. For those who need our special prayers, especially for Dr. Hennigy and for Tom Riley and many others that are among our families that need a special touch of your grace, we ask that you would do that at this time. Thank you, Father, so much through Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Another person you might want to think about once in a while is Norm Henry. Norm is kind of transitioning out of the fight and the fray right now, and it's taking him a little time to try to get back and get adjusted. So keep him in your prayers, if you would, please. Last week, I was talking about the second chapter of Luke. I'm going to pull into that also, the second chapter of Matthew today, because there have been some questions about maybe my story wasn't finished. Maybe you didn't really get all the rest of the story. Well, there is some more of that story going on. Luke, in chapter 2, will say that after they had completed the sacrifice of the doves and the pigeons, that they went to their home in Nazareth of Galilee. You're talking about maybe 45 miles, 45 to 60 miles, depending on which way you went. That's, by the way, the crow flies. Now, walking, it'll be farther than that. But I told you that maybe they had stayed with Elizabeth and Zechariah and John for a little while before they went home. Now, when you pick up Matthew's part of the story, he comes at it a little differently. Matthew talks a little bit about the birth, and he'll talk about the angels. And then he brings in some men from the east. Now, I don't know how far east they were. I can give you a conjecture of my own. I would say India. Because if you recall, the earlier times, the Jewish people migrated to the east. If you remember Ham, Shem, and Japheth back from those earlier days, one of them moved over into the area we now know as India. Now, the reason why I'm fairly sure at least they were either Jewish or at least had some Hebrew study time was they evidently had a Hebrew Bible, because they knew that there was to be a child born who would be the Messiah. Now, they don't call him Messiah. They call him the King. They had studied enough that they knew that it was getting time. Now, I know that a lot of people will call them astrologers. I don't know that they were astrologers. Simply because they said they saw a star doesn't mean they were necessarily astrologers. And I always marvel about how God works throughout our universe. He finds these men over there who evidently had some contact with God and had enough of desire that they wanted to go see this child. Now, folks, they're walking. Now, this probably ought not to go on the tape, but I'm going to tell you. I have a little elephant that's in my Christmas scene when I can sneak him in. My wife won't let him stay in there very long. She'll get him out of there. But see, I have a feeling that these fellows from that part of the country came in on a caravan that caught people's attention. And so I got them on elephants, riding the elephants in. But however they came, camels or elephants or donkeys or horses or walking, it still was a long way to come. Which coincides with the fact that we don't know just when the star appeared. I always marvel at how God can get our attention. Here these fellows are over there studying the Word. And they were out there one night and they see this star. An unusual star. Now, you got to get your mind rolling here a little bit. Mine rolls crazy, so you have to just go with me. You know that if you get up early in the mornings, there'll be a star off to your east. If you stay around long enough, guess where it will be this evening? It'll be over here. Why? Well, because the Bible's not always right. The star does not move. It's not moving from east to west. We're the ones moving. And so they said they saw this star. And I don't know how they associated that star with the birth of Jesus. But some way or another, God finds a way to talk to people so that they understand. By the way, you and I will question him at times, but he has a way to get us to understand. Sometimes. And so these fellows decide that they're going to come over and see about Jesus. Now Luke doesn't talk about him at all. Yeah, it has nothing to do with him. But Matthew brings them, and it's interesting because they arrive in Jerusalem and cause quite a stir. Enough so that they go to the king and say, yeah, you need to see these guys. Now, of course, we've allowed the songs and the Christmas stories to tell us, well, there were three of them. Well, it doesn't say there were three of them. And I have a feeling there were more than that because it was a caravan that caught their people's attention. Just because they had three gifts doesn't mean there were just three people. So. But these men arrive and they said to the king, you need to call these guys in and talk to them. Did it ever dawn on you that these people come from the east and they can talk to these Hebrews? That always amazes me how in the earlier days we hear them talking to one another. Here the Greeks are talking to Romans and the Greeks are talking to the Hebrews, and the Hebrews are talking to the Armenians, and the Armenians are talking to the Arabs, and the Egyptians, and they just have all this conversation going on. And so King Herod calls these fellows in and talks to them. Isn't that interesting? He said to them, he didn't ask them where they came from. He should have. Somebody should have written in there where they came from. Oh, came from the east. Good. That could be all the way to China. He said to them, I understand you have come here to find a king. They said, yeah. We've been studying, now, Toby's translation here. We have been studying the Word, and the Word said that this child, the king of Israel, would be born around here somewhere, and we've been following this star, and we've got here this far. So what does Herod do? Herod calls together the priests and the rabbis and the people from the temple, and he said to them, these fellows say that in your scriptures there's to be a king born. Do you know about this? Oh yeah, yeah, we know about this. Well, where's he going to be born? Well, according to our Old Testament writer, Micah, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Really?
Yeah.
So Herod walks out of there and he says to his guys, bring those guys in and let's talk. I think Matthew says they brought them in privately. Have a private conversation with them. He said to them, my understanding from my people is he's going to be born in Bethlehem. That's about 14 miles by the way the crow flies. It's going to take you a little longer than that because you got to go up and down the hills. But he's going to be in Bethlehem. So I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go and find him. And when you find him, come back and tell me so I can go worship him also. That's a good politician. Say it in a nice way like that. So the men get ready to leave. And because Herod said to them, my people say he's going to be in Bethlehem, we assume that they went to Bethlehem. Tob does not assume that. My mind goes another way because Matthew tells us that when they went outside, lo and behold, there was the star. And they followed the star. It does not say they went to Bethlehem. It said they followed the star and they came into the house where Mary and the young child was. Doesn't say baby Jesus. Not in a manger scene. Now for us to sell all of our stuff, we got to put them all right there together. You got to get them all right there. That's how you make money. Either that or write a book. And so Matthew says that they came into the house and they saw the child. And they worshiped him. That does something to my heart. Here these guys have come all this distance. Listen to the king. Tell him where he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And they follow the star. Now if I was preaching, I'd go along to say, you know, if you're smart, you listen to Jesus, not the rulers. Listen to God, not the people. Follow the star, not the directions of a man who has an evil heart. So they went in and they bowed down and worshiped him. Isn't that wonderful? It's interesting how God can do these kinds of things around the world. Find somebody way over here. Far separated from what's going on. They didn't get to hear the angels sing. They didn't get to see all that. They're out there wandering out across the desert. But they're following God. And they worship him. Now, nearly every time something like this happens, Joseph and Mary are just startled at what's going on. Well, wouldn't you be startled too if a herd of elephants and these guys come rumbling up in your yard? I mean, you know, this is no easy thing. Now, I don't know about angels and all these ways that God talks with people, but in my own mind, I almost always turn toward the Holy Spirit. That makes sense. So I have a feeling it's the Holy Spirit talking to them. And when they get ready to leave, the Holy Spirit says to them, this fellow back up there in Jerusalem has an ulterior motive here. You ought to go back to your homeland a different way. Don't go back through Jerusalem. Now, I can't prove they're in Nazareth, and you can't prove they weren't. And it really don't make any difference. But if they head east out of Nazareth, they won't have to go through Jerusalem. they just start right out across, past the Galilee and across the Jordan and head on out across Damascus and that way. They could go that way. But they listen to the voice of God and they don't go back through Jerusalem. I don't know why one of those guys didn't write a book. That would have been an interesting story for them to talk about all that went on from over there in the east into finding the Jesus and then back out again. That would make an interesting story. And so they left. Well, after they're gone, and I don't know how long after they're gone, the Lord talks to Mary and Joseph again and says to them, the fellows are gone now, and Herod is going to find out that they have left and didn't come back and tell him. And the baby's life is in danger. Y'all need to get out of here. Well, if they were in Nazareth, it's about 142 miles from Nazareth to cross the border into Egypt. Now, in those days, Egypt came all the way up to Gaza. Now, if they were at Hebron with Elizabeth and Zechariah, it's only about 60 miles down to the border. Nobody tells us how far they went. Nobody tells us where they went from, just tells us where they went. They're going to go to Egypt. Isn't it interesting? They said, because the scripture needs to be fulfilled that I called my son out of Egypt. Isn't that interesting? That the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now, it's an interesting little statement in there. You know, we read these stories with such familiarity that we don't take time to let some of them. And so, me, you know, I mumble around them. I think, that's interesting. Did you notice when Joseph left? He's not following a star, but he leaves at night. Now, folks, let me tell you something. I've been over there in that part of the world at night. It is dark. But the sky lights up. And let me remind you, they didn't have I-440 and interstates like we have. I've been on some of those back roads, and let me tell you something. They're rocky. There's not very many places in that area that's not rocky until you get over toward the Jordan River and some of those areas where the, and when you get to the plains, there's still some rocks going on there. But I don't know how they're going to do this, but now all three of them are headed toward Egypt. Because the Lord said to them, the child is in danger. You need to take him out of here. Now, I don't know whether this notice came to them ahead of time or whatever. I don't know about the timetable. I do know this. Herod dies in 2 BC. Now, I got to stop here a minute and tell you, too. Our calendars are really a jumbled up mess when you start trying to trace things down chronologically, because we've had so many changes in the calendars. If you use our present calendar and trace it back with either an Egyptian calendar or a Hebrew calendar or a Chinese calendar, Jesus is born somewhere around 4 BC. Isn't that interesting? Born before he ever came. So. Now, if he's born somewhere around 3 or 4 BC and Herod dies in 2 BC, We know then that Jesus went to Egypt before 2 BC. Because Herod sends out a decree. Now see, he doesn't know where those guys went. He didn't send somebody with them. He assumed that the child was still in Bethlehem. So he sends out a decree that all the children under 2 years of age, which means it had to be before 2 BC, under 2 years of age are to be killed. Can you imagine that? Did it dawn on you who else had to dodge that decree? John the Baptist. Yeah. And Zechariah hides him. And it's going to cost Zechariah's life. He has to hide that child. And so Jesus is now in danger of being killed, except he's not in Bethlehem. I think it says Bethlehem and the coast thereabout. There's no coast around Bethlehem. But what they're talking about is the area around there. Now, I don't know how far that area stretched that Herod was in charge of. He was not in charge of Nazareth, the area of Galilee. He's not in control up there. So wherever they go from, they go down to Egypt. I'm not sure. My mind's not running right now to tell me how long he stayed in Egypt. But if he stayed until Herod died, he stayed until 2 BC. So he could have been there a year or more. No big fanfare down there. They're just waiting. But you know, Joseph is a carpenter. So he got to make a living for these 2 years. And then one night, the angel comes back to him again. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord can talk to him? Right in the midst of all of this, I wish somebody would have told me what the Lord was telling him in that period of time. From the time they got there until the time they're going to leave. But he doesn't wait for the CBS News to tell them that the king has died. The angel of the Lord came to him and said, Joseph, it's okay to go back now, because the one that was seeking the death of the child has now died, and you can go home. I think it's Matthew that says they went back into the area of Galilee to the city called Nazareth. Now you see where people get the problem is, because Luke already has him in Nazareth. They went to Nazareth right after the cleansing and after the offering of the doves and the pigeons. He takes them back. See, they don't tell us all the things we want to know, but they tell us what we need to know. And what we need to know is that God is in control. Even when it looks like death grips are all around you, and that you got a president that's not right all the time, if any of the time, and his attitude's not right, and his words are not right, the world's not right, Korea's not right, China's not right, that does not mean God's not in control. He is still in control, except for one thing. He gave you and me too much authority. He gave his creation too much power. And you remember, he turned this world over to Adam and Eve and their descendants. We have sure made a mess of it, haven't we? But every once in a while, God will speak to somebody somewhere And so marvelous things begin to happen. I want to say to you, Christmas time is God speaking to you and me, saying to you, I have come down to walk with you and to talk with you and to tell you how much I love you. And to tell you that when it looks like the death threats are all around you, I'm still here with you. I will still guide you and direct you and lead you if you will just follow me. So they don't tell us all the stories in there that we would like to know, but they tell us what we need to know. And that is, if you will yield yourself to God, may not be a star, may not be a manger in Bethlehem, but it will be a voice of God who knows how to speak so you can hear Him and understand Him. He will reveal Himself and His will to you and me. And now you've heard the rest of the story. Father, thank you for this group of men and ladies that gather with us here on Friday mornings. More thankful, though, that you come with us. You're here before we are. And this place transitions from just a place called Vittles to a place called the Kingdom, where we meet the King of all kings. Speak to us again today, our Father, so that we'll understand and we'll follow and we'll do what you want us to do today. Bless all these people and their families. Help Dr. Henneke and Ray Dean. They'll be back with us, and some of our other group will be back with us. But thank you for going with us wherever we are. Wherever our jobs or our life takes us, you're there. And we want to seek your presence and the guidance of your Holy Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. God bless you. Amen.